For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves. In this second Saturday conversation with Arkansas State University's Chancellor, Dr. Kelly Damphus, I discuss the exploratory process at Arkansas State is taking in looking at a vet school at A-State. It's part of the second Saturday conversation with Arkansas State University's Chancellor. And here is the interview.
This is something that actually started before I even got here. There's a company that owns a private vet school in St. Kitts in the Caribbean. And they had come to our campus about a year before I got here. And basically, based on the NYIT model that where we had brought the medical school to our campus, they had thought about trying to bring a vet school using the same model where they would lease space from us and they would plant their vet school here on our campus. And the people who were here on campus were open to that conversation, but it never really went anywhere. And there's a change in chancellorship. And so that story kind of went away after a while. When I got back, when I got to campus, I invited the faculty, if you've got ideas or things you're interested in doing, that's my job, is to help you make those things happen. And so Dr. Bud Kennedy, who's the chair of the Animal Science Department, and Tim Bertram, the former dean of agriculture, came to me and said, there's this group that had been here before, and we'd like to consider going back. Arkansas is one of the few states in the region that don't have a vet school, and many of our students who are pre-vet students are having to go somewhere else. Every vet in Arkansas went to school outside the state of Arkansas, and they thought that there was, and there's a huge need for large animal vets as well, so they thought there was an important thing to do here. So for the past couple of years, we've been engaged with this company, and over time, it seemed to make less and less sense for them to bring their school here than for them to help us start our own school. So that's what we eventually evolved into, is having those conversations about starting our own vet school, but using their resources, and then coming up with a financial model that worked for both parties, where they recoup their resources for helping us start the school, but where we actually maintained ownership over the curriculum and the faculty and the staff and the administration of the vet school. And we talked about this pretty strongly for about a year with just a very small number of people, including Dean Bertram and Bud Kennedy, who were involved from the very beginning. And then at some point we said, we've got to involve the faculty and the other entities, veterinarians around the state and so on. So we said, let's get together and let's sign a memorandum of agreement to say, let's give ourselves 6 months to talk about this openly and see if we can't come together with a solution that works for both parties. This plan that we're putting together that really is really in its infancy, it has to benefit all parties and has to benefit the state, has to benefit Arkansas State University, but also the state of Arkansas and the people of the state of Arkansas. But also, I'm recognizing that it has to benefit our partners as well. They're a privately traded company and they have fiduciary responsibilities to their shareholders. And so, so we will spend 6 months working on this. It's really exciting. The faculty are supportive of their colleagues who want to do this, the faculty as a whole. I met with the faculty on Friday afternoon, and I would say that the response from the faculty, from staff, from our alumni, from our students has been overwhelmingly positive. I heard today that many people around the state are also feeling the same way, that it's about time, the story I'm hearing, it's about time Arkansas had its own school of veterinary medicine. So I think the timing was right. Our partnership, I think, is right. So the stars are aligning to do this. Now there are other schools that other people are talking about as well. There's no dental school in the state of Arkansas. There's no optometry school there as well. But vet school really matches our niche. I mean, we were founded originally as a school for farm kids. A high school for farm kids, and agriculture is really part of our roots. And so having a vet school, we already have an animal science program, we already have a farm, we have large animals on our farm. It's a perfect match for us in a way that dental school or optometry school might not be as good of a match. And so that's where we are right now. So we have a six-month window to come up with a plan that works for everybody.
Right. And who else is going to be involved in the discussions for this?
Well, as many people as want to be involved. So we have formed a task force to look at creating this school. Bud Kennedy will chair that, and people are volunteering to be part of that task force. Certainly the widest group of people that will be involved will be the faculty, because it's an academic endeavor. But there will be some other folks that need to be involved as well, alumni. We'll certainly have someone from the Veterinary Medicine Association of Arkansas will be involved as well, because we want this to be Arkansas's state school and to involve Arkansas's state vets. Now, all of them went to school somewhere else. Now, many of them went to Arkansas State as an undergrad, but they all went to vet school somewhere else. And so this will be that will be one of the challenges we're faced, is that how do we balance the desire to keep and maintain relationships with those other vet schools, but also develop our own identity.
So I know you touched on this a little bit, Dr. Danfus, but why would there be a need for this? And I know you touched on it a little bit, but as people are very, very, positive about this, why would there be a need to put this here in Arkansas, specifically here at Arkansas State?
Well, that's actually two questions and two good questions. First, why Arkansas, then why Arkansas State? I think that there are other universities who have explored this. I'll answer the second one first.
Sure.
Why Arkansas State? Other schools have looked at this and have not been able to figure out how to make it financially feasible. It's just very expensive to start a vet school. There are just a lot of expenses into putting this together, and it just isn't feasible. It wouldn't be feasible to us without this private partner. Now, why Arkansas? First off, Arkansas doesn't have one, so that's the first issue. The second question you could ask is, why do we need one? We haven't had one for over 100 years. Why would we need one now? There's a significant shortage of veterinarians across the country, especially large animal, and especially here in the state of Arkansas. And so I talk to farmers and ranchers here in the state, and I hear them say things like, I love my vet, but if one of my animals gets sick, Either the animal will heal itself or it will die, because it takes too long for my vet to get out there because there's just not enough vets to go around.
Right.
And so this has huge implications for our farming and ranching community, who need to have a steadier and broader supply of vets. Because of the shortage, other states are looking into expanding vet schools as well. Long Island University is starting one in New York. University of Arizona is starting one. They hope to open theirs up next fall. And then Texas Tech is looking at opening one up. Texas A&M already is the vet school for Texas, but because of the shortage of veterinarians in Texas, which has hit critical need, the state legislature there is providing $17 million in funding there, and they've also raised $90 million in private funding to start their vet school, and that's going to start in fall 2021 at Texas Tech. So there are states around us that are, like I said, Texas is looking at opening its second school,
right?
There are states around us that are adding schools as well. Now, another issue is why Arkansas. We have a number of students who want to become veterinarians, want to live in the state of Arkansas, but they are now being forced and required to go somewhere else to go to school. They're paying out-of-state tuition when they go do that, and once they go somewhere else, they might not come back, and so it's not helping fill the need that we have here in Arkansas. And so there's lots of reasons to do this. There's lots of concerns people have about it as well, and we'll have to face all of those concerns.
Right. So 6 months. Are we officially in that six-month part now?
It started Friday, but really we took the weekend off. But then today we've already had some meetings about it, it's interesting. The state Veterinary Medicine Association is actually meeting this week in Hot Springs, and so we are going down to make a presentation down there this weekend. And Dr. Kennedy is going to do that. We have a consultant that we've hired. He's a former dean at Ohio State University Vet School. He's also started a vet school in Tennessee recently, and so we've hired him to be our consultant. He and Dr. Kennedy will go down to the Vet Association and meet with them and make sure the vets all understand what we're trying to do here.
That sounds great. And I know another reason why, as you say, is that there's a lot of people who try to get into schools And, you know, there's only a certain number of people that can get in, and so some may be turned away, so they keep looking at where they're going to go. Obviously, it'd be great to be able to have them here in Arkansas.
Absolutely.
And by the number of people who also own pets and as you say, large animals, and the farm, the Equine Center and the farm is a great opportunity for students to be able to get that opportunity. So it seems like it'd be a win-win if it all works and out.
You mentioned pets. What's really interesting, I've been doing a lot of research in the past few months about this, that there is a prediction or projection for the number of vets that will be needed across the country. And one of the things that's driving this huge increase, we're looking at about a 20% increase in the next 3 or 4 years in the number of vets that are needed, is pet ownership. People are owning, more and more people are owning pets, more and more people are owning more and more pets. And while a town like Jonesboro has a lot of vets there, there's a lot of other towns that don't have any vets at all. Because small animal vets. And so there's a huge need for that. And people in those small towns have a need for pets as for vets as well for their pets. And so, all the indicators are that there will be a need for more vets than there are now. Interestingly, ASU BB actually has a vet tech program. So it's an associate's degree on veterinary technician for people who work in vet offices. And so it's a good marriage there between our campus and their campus as well.
Fantastic. So we'll see what happens in about 6 months.
Six months. Someone asked me, what happens if you're not done in 6 months? We'll go longer if we have to. My goal is for us not to wait for 6 months. If we can get this done more quickly, we will. But we just wanted to give ourselves a realistic window to kind of work this all out. There's a lot of things that have to go into place. And a big part of it is figuring out the finances to figure out how we would do this, who we would hire, who would work for who. You know, in the NYIT model, all those employees work for NYIT, and they lease land from us. And so it's a different model for us. So we don't really have an equivalent model like that right now.
Right. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
We'll get an update on that. One thing I do want to switch gears on and talk about is there's been, of course, a concern around the world about the coronavirus.
Sure.
You did address that at Arkansas State by way of it. We haven't had that. We've had some flu on campus. We haven't had any of that. But you just never know. Kind of give us an update on what Arkansas State is doing to try to keep watch on this and to try to keep people safe.
Well, that's a great question and something that we are paying a lot of attention to. And the best thing we can do is to monitor what the WHO and the CDC are saying, and we're monitoring that very closely. WHO is a World Health Organization, and they would monitor things like what's happening in other countries and the safety of traveling to and from different countries. And CDC monitors, that's the Center for Disease Control, monitors what happens internally here in the country. And they monitor outbreaks of certain viruses in different locations. What we know by watching those two organizations is that it's becoming less and less of a recommendation to fly to China in particular. For a while, it was don't fly to certain parts of China, but now it's China as a whole. Of course, that's having a huge impact on the world economy and has an impact on us. We've got many Chinese students here on our campus. I myself was going to travel to China in a couple of weeks to go recruit students to come here. That's going to impact our Chinese students, but also people who plan to travel there for work. And so so we're monitoring that kind of thing. The thing we're also trying to do is to provide a sense of reality about this. So the media, if you're not careful, the media might make you feel like there's this huge risk of getting the coronavirus and that the consequences of getting it is, you know, like a death sentence. Well, those are actually both false. It's a flu, and the chances of getting it are relatively small right now, and the outcomes of getting it are like any other flu. There are people who are more vulnerable to it, are more likely to feel more drastic effects to it, but it is a flu. When I put that communication out, though, I reminded folks that this is a good reminder for everyone, is that we already have a virus on campus and in our state, and it's called the influenza virus. And 33 people in the state of Arkansas have died so far because of the influenza virus, and 1,600 people nationwide. And so the same protections we do for coronavirus, aside from just travel to and from China, but washing your hands regularly, soap and water, coughing into your elbow, maintaining a high level of hygiene, and so on. If you're sick, staying home. If you're a student, then you're having to miss classes, make sure you communicate with your faculty members. If you're a staff member, make sure your supervisor knows what's going on. If you haven't got the flu shot yet, go get the flu shot because that can mitigate things. If you feel like you've got the flu, go see a doctor as soon as possible because there's treatments that can happen. The more quickly you get treated, the more likely you are to successfully come out of or recover from the virus. So that was the point of that message, was to make sure people understand the context of coronavirus, but also understand the things they can do, even if they're not planning a trip to China or interacting with people that have just come back from China, but that there are things we can do physically to keep us safe from not just the coronavirus, but from all types of influenza viruses as well.
And as we know in Arkansas, with the weather being just as crazy as it is, that leads to more people being sick around this time and that. And I know that you all work closely with the good folks that are here at NYIT to try and help keep those students, as best as they can to keep them, well.
Yeah, we work very closely with NYIT, with Dean Shane Spites over there, who gives us a lot of advice. He actually serves on our executive council, so that when we all meet together every couple of weeks, he can give us some insight. But we also got great medical partners in the health community here as a whole in Jonesboro. We're blessed by two great hospitals, a great community health program, and so we're very fortunate here in Jonesboro and Craighead County in general, as far as our capacity to teach people about what the risks are, but also to mitigate against future infection or dealing with the of the aftermath of being affected.
Sure. Dr. Kelly Damphus joining us here on A-State Connections here on KASU. One thing I know that is very important on campus, February is Black History Month. And I know the Arkansas State, there's a lot of activities that take place throughout the month that Arkansas State's involved in. Tell us about the importance of Black History Month.
You know, I get asked this question quite a bit. That's actually, thank you for asking that again. Why do we have a Black History Month? Well, there was a time when Black history was not acknowledged in this country. And so in response to that, African-American community has come together to say, let's acknowledge some of the great things that have happened and some of the great African-Americans who have helped lead this country to where we are today. And that has become what used to be kind of a smaller celebration within the African-American community has become much more broadly participated in by entire communities. And that's what's happened here on our campus, not just on our campus, but in the community as a whole, people coming together to recognize and acknowledge the important role that that the African-American community has made to our community as a whole. And that has allowed us to set aside a month every year where we can acknowledge and recognize the important role that African Americans have made in our community and on our campus. And so there have been some traditional things that start off as very small that have become community-wide. For example, this Friday evening, which is, as of when this gets aired, it'll be last night, actually.
Right, sure.
We'll have the soul food dinner at the Armory, and this will be my third year to participate in this. And it is a genuinely community-wide event where hundreds of people from the community come in and eat traditional soul food. And there's some entertainment, but also some speakers and so on that acknowledge contributions of African Americans to our community, and it's really great to see everyone come together. There's lots of events on campus for not just for our African American students, but for our students as a whole, to learn more about African American culture and about recognizing how even though there are differences between one culture and another culture, that we can learn from each other through that process. And then there is also an educational aspect of this as well. Everybody can learn something about themselves in these kinds of exchanges, and we have a presentation we're going to be doing called Implicit Bias. And Implicit Bias, as part of Black History Month, we have this conference that we're hosting. And Implicit Bias is biases that we all have that we might not even understand how they're working unless we're very self introspective.
Sure.
And so we're working with the St. Bernard's Healthcare to put on this conference to help us all understand better our own biases as we interact with people. And while this is being done during Black History Month, implicit bias plays itself out in all kinds of realms, race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, or religious beliefs, and so on. So we think this can have a greater effect beyond just beyond the Black community.
You know, and that's one of the things that the opportunity to be able to learn about, learn from one another, and that's going to be a great thing. One of the things that I'm really excited about is the Living Legends Breakfast. I think that's the second year for that. That's going to be really cool. And this opened up this past week at the ASU Museum, is a civil rights exhibition. It's called For All the World to See: Visual Culture and the Struggle for Civil Rights, and that's we had the reception celebrating the opening that took place on Thursday at the museum. But people need to have an opportunity to be able to go by and check that out. And that's free to see at the ASU Museum.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, part of our strategic plan, the third goal that we have is to create more opportunities for the community to learn more about us and for us to learn more about the community and provide more community-oriented programming so that people can come onto our campus and learn more about the world around them. And this is just one example. There, I know that the museum coming up on popular music, race, and religion. So that's going to be really cool as well. So a lot of really neat things that our community can learn something about the world around them pretty easily. And it gives us an opportunity to do that. And also, you know, it's a lot of fun. A lot of people enjoy coming to these events, and I learn something every time. Yeah, and the Living Legends Breakfast is always a lot of fun, too, because it gives us a chance to recognize people who have made an incredible contribution, not just to a state, but to our community.
It's going to be a lot of things taking place right now at Arkansas State University. And appreciate you spending a few minutes telling us about the things that are going on. Before I let you run, anything else, please?
Well, I will say that if you want to find out what's going on in Black History Month, you can go to astate.edu/BHM2020. And that website has a lot of information there. You'll probably see some posters around campus as well and around town. But we'd love to have folks come onto our campus. And a lot of great things happening at A-State. And I will tell you, we have a lot more things to come. We're about to release our strategic plan to the public. That'll come out this month. You can also go to our website and see drafts of the plan, but that will get released this month. It's slated to get approved and hopefully approved by the Board of Trustees in the first week of March. And so once that gets ratified by everybody on campus and off campus, we can really start hitting the ground running. It's a 5-year plan that outlines the future of Arkansas State University, and things like a vet school, things like creating more opportunities between town and gown relationships to be enhanced, things like trying to make sure that our campus is welcoming to all students, all faculty, and all staff, to create a stronger culture of acceptance and caring on our campus. Those are all things that are really super important. And then I'll highlight, especially at the end, the fact that we want to maintain our status as a research university. It's the faculty have really embraced this notion that we're now a Research 2 university, and we have to start thinking about how we invest in ourselves. We have a search going on right now for a graduate dean, which is a big deal for us. We haven't had a graduate dean for a while, and the creation of a graduate college, which will create more opportunity for research when we enhance the experience of our graduate students on our campus. So a lot of great things happening, and I can't wait for a month from now to come back and talk about what happened since today.
And that's Arkansas State University's Chancellor, Dr. Kelly Damphus, on the second Saturday conversation on A-State Connections. I'm Jonathan Reeves.